I tell you, folks, things are really popping out there today. It's a good thing that I'm here when things are popping to explain them and put them into perspective. And that's what we do here on the one and only EIB Network. We make the complex understandable. That is one of the many specialties offered here by me each and every day. 800-282-2882. If you want to be on the program, the email address rush@eibnet.com. Now, let's go back to this little tidbit of information. The Associated Press says that Mrs. Clinton could envision a day when, quote, you have to show proof to your employer that you're insured as part of the job interview. Like when your kid goes to school and has to show proof of vaccination. But Mrs. Clinton said that such details will be worked out through negotiations with Congress. Now, as will all the details of her program, by the way, she says. Now, during when I made that announcement, I'm sure some of you said, wait, have to prove you have insurance to the employer? I don't understand, Rush. I thought you got insurance through your employer. No, ladies and gentlemen, no. You know what I'm going to have to do? Tell what I'm going to have to do, folks. You know, we got a whole new generation of people that weren't paying attention in the 90s, who weren't around in the 90s. And I think we're going to have to go back to fundamentals 101 on this healthcare thing. Because this little blurb from the AP about Mrs. Clinton, you got to show your employer proof of health insurance, made total sense to me because I understand what her proposal is. But a lot of it, wait a minute, I thought you get insurance through the employer. What do you mean prove it? Folks, we're talking about a government-run health care plan here. What'll happen is, you know how you got to go to the DMV to get your driver's license and your plates and whatever else? You know you have to go to the post office, stand in line, whatever. You're going to have to go somewhere. A government building, a federal government building, a federal government health care center, something, and you're going to have to go in and get your health insurance. You say, well, what if I can't afford it? Doesn't matter. We're going to tax the rich so that you're not going to pay for it, you don't think. You have to go apply. You have to go in there and get your card that says you are insured by the federal government, not some insurance company that's got a plan that your employer has hired or has made a deal with. That's how this works. And if you go in for a job interview and you don't have health insurance, the employer, if Mrs. Clinton's plan follows through, the employer will not be allowed to hire you. Before you can be hired anywhere, you have to go to a government building somewhere and register for health insurance. But who's going to pay for it? What if I can't pay for it? By the way, you will be paying for it one way or the other. There'll always be these little add-ons. There'll be the administrative fees that you'll have to pay for taking up the bureaucrat's time while you're in line registering for health care. But, Rush, this can't possibly be. Well, did you explain it to me? If you have to prove to your employer that you've got insurance, then doesn't it stand to reason you're not getting your health insurance to the employer? So where are you going to get it? Well, if Mrs. Clinton or the Breck girl or Obama get their way, you're going to go to the new government health complex in your town or in the nearest city to where you live and sign up for it. You will have voted for it by electing Mrs. Clinton. So why I'm suggesting we may have to go back to the fundamentals of all this and explain from the very beginning that despite what Mrs. Clinton says, or the Breck girl, or anybody else, health care is not a constitutional right. But, Rush, I'm guaranteed a lawyer. Yeah, but the Constitution doesn't guarantee you health care. Where does this kind of thing end? I know people think there's something special about health care, but I want to know, where did this get started? Where did this entitlement mentality commence? What are the roots that we all are entitled to medical care? That we are all entitled to be healthy at all times and that the government will make it so. Where did this start? Well, I mean, the true answer of this would be FDR's raw deal, where that was the starting point for the overall premise that was government's job to make sure everybody's okay and happy or miserable or taken care of or fine, to create the attitude in people's minds that rather than look to themselves and rather than accept responsibility for certain things in life like your health and your, you know, your needs, that some government agency will be there for you. And it's grown and grown and grown to the point now where many Americans think that part of Americanism, being an American, is an entitlement to all of these things that people used to have to go out and take care of themselves and provide for themselves. The majority probably now think that. We're talking here not about wants, folks. We're talking about needs. Needs and wants are two different things. Everybody has needs, and you got to take care of them. When the government moves in and says, we're going to take care of your needs, then you are on, if you accept that, you are on the path to misery, and you're on the path to having one of the most disappointing lives you can imagine, because you will never reach your potential, because you'll never try, because you'll never have to. Because there's always going to be a fallback for you. There's always going to be a government program, a government plan, a government politician, somewhere to come along and tell you, don't sweat. And where does this kind of thing end? When politicians use this kind of dependence to get elected and stay elected, the more of your needs that they can convince you, you have a constitutional right to let them provide for you, the more they'll provide it. What if we got to the point, this is an example here, when you go on a vacation, everybody's entitled to a clean and nice hotel room. It's not fair that some people have to stay in rat-infested motels and other people get to stay in five-star Ritz-Carltons. And so the government's going to come in and make sure that everybody gets a quality hotel. We're going to have hotel insurance. Now, you think, well, that's absurd, Rush. It's no more absurd than people thinking that the government is responsible for their health. Now, I know what you're yelling at me, but it's so expensive, we can't afford it. Why is that? I understand totally. This is how you've been lassoed. It's been run in such a way that nobody, well, very few, can afford it without insurance. Although more people can than can't, than you would know, aside from catastrophic or, you know, emergencies, but just general trips to the doctor. I mean, when you get to the point that people expect a $45 or $60 trip to the doctor is to be paid for by their neighbors or by the government, which is your neighbors, you know, then it's, you know, realize we got a problem. And then what happens if down the road we decide, yeah, we're going to go, we're in the midst of transforming television broadcasts from analog to digital. Digital mandated by 2009, then after that we'll fit to HDTV. Now, those things are pretty expensive. What if some politician comes along and says, I think we need television insurance, HDTV, because it's the primary mode of communication. Our citizens need to be informed. And everybody's going to be entitled to HDTV. Got to go to a government center to pick it up. Where does this stuff stop? You say, well, Russ, this is ridiculous. It will never happen. Don't say never. I can remember when I was a young child, back in the 60s. My dad was a lawyer. He had a lot of friends who were doctors. I can remember him lamenting. I'm 9 years old. And I can remember, this is the days of Medicare and Medicaid, early days. I can remember them lamenting what was going to happen here. Once the government got involved in health care, they said it's going to be out of control. And here it is 40 years later, well, 47 years, 4 years, whatever. And they were right on the money. And this stuff doesn't happen overnight. It's creeping. It happens so slowly you don't know it's happening. It's like the poor idiot frog you put in a pan of cold water, turn on the heat, it warms up gradually before the frog can figure out what happens, it's boiled. As opposed to just throwing the frog into boiling water, so whoa, it'd pop right out. But when you boil the water slowly, when you percolate these societal changes slowly, and always under the guise of compassion.
and caring, and sympathy.
And of course, the requisite, don't examine the results. Only examine us on the basis of our good intentions. So we might have to go back to, you know, fundamentals 101, conservatism 101, during the course of the next year to explain to people what this healthcare business is all about. Because, you know, when Mrs. Clinton talks about having a requirement, you be insured before you can get a job, Constitution gives no government official that kind of power. None. Zero. Zip. Nada. And not the federal government. States, if they want to try those things, they can. But nobody's ever had the guts. But that won't stop Mrs. Clinton and the liberal Democrats. They're on a roll, and they want to control as much of everyday life as they can, because in the process they will ensure their position of exalted power in perpetuity. And another question out there for you folks. What if I'm not the right religion? Will Mrs. Clinton allow me to get health care? Well, you know, I'm telling you, once these things start happening, you got to ask yourself these questions. Will cosmetic surgery be included in Hillary care? Look at folks, when you have to get health insurance by the government, you have no choice. You can't go anywhere else. And if it doesn't cover things that you want, what are you going to do? Why, you might have to pay for it yourself. Oh, my. No. Americans just won't pay for things themselves. What if it doesn't cover it? What about breast augmentation, either bigger or smaller? What if they don't cover that? Yeah, that's a slam dunk. It'll be covered because it's a chickified society, so cover that for the feminists. But bottom line here is, folks, you realize here, Hillary Clinton is not qualified to run one HMO. She is not qualified to run one hospital, let alone national health care, national anything. Now get this. Time Magazine. The women's hospital at the University of Wurzburg. What the hell is that? Oh, it's in Germany. The women's hospital, University of Wurzburg it is, used to be the biggest of its kind in Germany. Its former size is part of the historical burden it carries. Countless women were involuntarily sterilized there when it stood in the geographical center of Nazi Germany. Today, the capacity of the historical building overlooking the college town where the Baroque and mid-20th... Blah, blah, blah. People at Time Magazine, get this stupid story. The bottom line of the story is that they found a way to treat cancer patients is with high-fat diets. They have found one of the most unexpected medications for cancer patients at the hospital at the University of Wurzburg. It is fact. Their trial puts patients on a so-called ketogenic diet, which eliminates all carbohydrates, including sugar, provides energy only from high-quality plant oils like hemp seed and linseed oil, and protein from soil and animal products. What sounds like yet another version of the Atkins craze is actually based on scientific evidence, dates back nearly 80 years. They eliminate sugar from the diet of cancer patients, increase the fat, and it appears to be working in some of these clinical studies of people who have cancer. Now, a ketogenic diet, for those of you in Rio Linda, if you really go strict, if you eat zero carbs, and you can do this inside of a week, but if you go a week, sometimes sooner, you will you'll transform yourself into a state that the medical community calls ketosis. You can actually go out and get strips at your local pharmacy to test your urine to see if you are in a state of ketosis. They turn purple. And what that means is that you are burning stored fat. What are you laughing at for in there, Brian? I'm filling people in on this, a ketogenic diet. Well, look, here's a diet that is said to be showing some success against cancer. It has been ridiculed as a diet by all these wacko medical groups here. It's really not giving the Atkins diet, but it's close to it. But you can't have a single gram of carbohydrate to pull this off at the outset. Not a single gram for a week. And what happens, there's another interesting thing that happens as a result of being, Brian, it will not distract me. Another thing happens when you enter this ketogenic state, you lose your appetite. And so you eat less, which is the real secret to the Atkins diet. So anyway, I just wanted to pass this on because one of the biggest enemies in the American nutritional triangle is fat. And in Germany, they're finding that a high-fat diet is having some success in dealing with certain kinds of cancers. Now, one more thing here before we go to the phones. It's not just health care where the Democrats are attempting a stealth takeover of American capitalism and culture. The group called Americans for Legal Immigration is launching a national campaign to try and stop an amendment that has been offered by Senator Dick Durbin called the DREAM Act Amendment. The DREAM Act Amendment would provide amnesty for millions of illegal aliens. It would give them taxpayer-subsidized in-state college tuition rates and place them ahead of American students. William Gein of the Americans for Legal Immigration PAC says this is the Bad Dream Amnesty Act. This legislation would replace American students in the limited seats in college at taxpayer expense. And they're revved up here to stop this. Senator Durbin and others plan to try to attach amendments that provide amnesty for illegal aliens and increased visas for more immigration into the National Defense Authorization Act. The amendments are not germane to the bill, and they violate Senate rules and ethics that state amendments must be relevant to the bill. Well, that's, we're talking ethics here, that's out the window a long time ago. So just as the Democrats with the children's health program are trying to stealth cover illegal immigrants, which is what that's about, so too are they trying to provide amnesty here in the National Defense Authorization Act with these amendments that grant this amnesty. So they've learned their lesson. They came out of the blocks and they said, here's this comprehensive plan and this is what it is. We're going to do this. They tried to ram it through. Everybody found out what it was and stopped it. Now they're trying to do it again under cover of darkness, increment by increment. You know, door jam by door jam as they build the mansion here. All right, here's Ken in Mansfield, Massachusetts. I'm glad you waited, sir. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Rush. Longtime listener.
Thank you.
Pleasure to talk with you. I was calling because I had your answer to your question of what are they going to do to you if you don't sign up. In Massachusetts, they sent out letters to people who didn't have health care, I being one of them, that said if you don't sign up, you'll lose your income tax return from the state. Your not the itemized one, but the standard that they just give you. If you don't itemize, so they would take that away from you.
Wait! I'd be happy if they took my income tax return away. What do you mean?
No, not the return. When you have a standard deduction on your income tax.
Oh, they're going to take the standard deduction away from you.
They take the whole deduction away.
Okay.
If you don't sign up.
Okay, so they penalize you, of course. There's no question about it. There's going to be all kinds of penalties here.
Right.
However, in Massachusetts, correct me if I'm wrong, you still got to buy your insurance or get it. The government's not paying for it, right?
No, they have government paying for it, too. Yep, if you can't afford it, then you just sign up and you're on the government
program. No, but if you can afford it, you have to get it yourself. It's not...
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
I know that's Romney's plan. It differs somewhat from Hillary's. Thanks for the call out there, Ken. Good time. But I mean, Ghana, we are having a good time. We have more fun than a human being should be allowed to have. I am Rush Limbaugh, well-known radio raconteur, general all-around good guy, America's truth detector, doctor of democracy, all combined in one harmless, lovable little fuzzball. I have a couple other questions for Mrs. Clinton. Speaking of, if we got to go get health insurance to get a job, we got to prove that. And there are going to be penalties if we don't behave. Will Hillary require us all to wear those Chairman Mao suits as hospital gowns? Like she wears. Now, this story we had about cancer and these high-fat diets over there in Germany that they're using to treat cancer patients. One of the things that they're giving these cancer patients is hemp seed, which reminds me of this. It raises the question, will medical marijuana be included in national health care? California had better be if she's not going to get elected. And speaking of controlling behavior, this is a very important question for a lot of men. If a husband, say, cats around on his wife, catches some kind of sexually transmitted disease, will he be covered under Hillary Clinton's health care plan? Well, these are important questions, Mr. Snurdly. You can sit in there and laugh. But these are important questions. Now, again, here's a healthcare story from the UK. This is from the Daily Mail. A Muslim dentist made a woman wear Islamic dress as the price of accepting her as a National Health Service patient, it's alleged. The dentist here, the Muslim dentist, is named Omar Butt, B-U-T-T, said to have told the patient that unless she wore a headscarf, she would have to find another practice. Later this month, Mr. Butt will appear before a general dental counsel professional misconduct hearing, which has the power to strike him off. Now, Mr. Butt, Mr. Omar, strike him off. Some of these terms that the Brits use, strike him off. I know you people in Rio Linda get all excited about that. That just means take him off the list of approved doctors in the NHS. Now, who is this guy? Mr. Butt is the older brother of former Islamic extremist Hassan Butt, who once declared he had no problem with terror attacks on Britain and who said that September 11th served the pleasure of Allah. He has since recanted and now calls for Muslims to abandon violence. I admit I've not, this is the first time I've encountered a Muslim with the last name Butt. Omar and Hassan. Let's see. The headscarf incident alleged to have happened in 2005 at a time when between 4,000 and 8,000 people were unable to find an NHS, National Health Service, dentist. Matt in Ontario, California. Matt, I'm glad you called and waited. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Russ. Chief Diddles.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say, you know, if people really want to know what government health care would be about, over and above politics and money, just look at Walter Reed.
Well, that's certainly one example. You're talking about the snafu and the controversies there and the treatment of injured soldiers coming back from Afghanistan and Iraq.
Just the whole bureaucracy of it, you know, it's just a mess, and it always will be.
Well, yeah. I know. You don't have to do that. It's not a bad example. I went to Walter Reed and
yeah, but you got the pretty side. I mean, come on.
No, I know that. I went to rehab. I went to the area where injuries included, loss of limbs, and they were rehabbing in there. I didn't see any patients in hospital beds.
Well, I'm your average Joe, and I delivered to a couple of them before. Just, you know, your average delivery.
Yeah.
And it's kind of ugly. It's sad the way we treat any of our soldiers.
Well, plus they're closing it down.
Well,
they're closing it down and merging it with something else.
More bureaucracy. But, you know, I had a little sidebar on the guy with the broken ankle in the UK. You know, it's a little black helicopter-ish. But, you know, what happens if they get a hold of your frequent shopper list and they deny you... you know, health care on your heart attack because you ate Twinkies and beers
for
20 years.
Well, I know. Well, look at what do you think these attacks, when you've got the mayor of New York attacking trans fats, he may just be a control freak. But I guarantee you these people are arming and aiming at fast foods and other things. Their stated reason is, well, we must maintain a healthy population. People that eat this stuff are causing health care expenses to rise in this country. They're getting sicker. They're getting fatter. They're causing great drain on our economy. And they always couch their desire to control your behavior in the best of intentions. We're only trying to help you. It's like Jim Wright, the former Speaker of the House. I'll never forget this. Reagan would do a State of the Union speech, and they'd send Jim Wright out to do the Democrat response. I mean, of all duties to get, to have to give the Democrat response to Ronald Reagan's State of the Union speech. And they'd send old Jim Wright out there, Fort Worthless Jim, with big eyebrows up there that look shifty when he raised them. Why, we, and the Democrats had a majority in the House. We only want to help the president. We only want to work with the president. The translation, we only want to screw this president. We only want to destroy his presidency. They counsel this. We want to do good. We want to help. We want to keep you healthy. We want to keep you out of these fast food joints and so forth. Hey, Los Angeles City Council just put a moratorium on the private sector in southern Los Angeles. Can't have any more fast food restaurants out there. Good good, good. That stuff is poison, Mr. Limbaugh, and they shouldn't be allowed to eat that stuff anyway. You got these new castrati would go along with all these things because they just want to feel good about themselves, Mr. Limbaugh, better than you feel about yourself. We know you hate yourself. Wrong. I love myself. I love my life. I'm trying to protect it against encroachment. Little new castrati nerds like you and Mrs. Clinton and John Edwards and all the rest of these people that are serious stuff here, folks. We're going to still have fun with it. Don't misunderstand. It's the best way to mock something and call attention to it and make fun. We can laugh at it, but at some point it's going to get serious, like it has today. From San Francisco, can't believe this. We actually have a fairly reasoned ruling from a Clinton-appointed federal judge in California. A federal judge tossed out, this happened yesterday, a lawsuit filed by the state of California that sought to hold the world's six largest automobile makers accountable for their contribution to global warming. In its lawsuit filed last year, the state of California blamed the auto industry for millions of dollars it expects to spend on repairing damage from global warming-induced floods and other natural disasters. But District Judge Martin Jenkins in San Francisco handed to California Attorney General Jerry Brown's environmental crusade a stinging rebuke when he ruled that it was impossible to determine to what extent automakers are responsible for global warming damages in California. Many culprits, including other industries, even natural sources, are responsible for emitting carbon dioxide, the judge said. He also ruled that keeping the lawsuit alive would threaten the country's foreign policy position. Amazing! A Clinton appointee. San Francisco. Jenkins said, the judge, it's up to lawmakers rather than judges to determine how responsible automakers are for global warming problems. Now, can't believe this. This guy, how'd he sneak through the cracks there? When the Clinton people hear about this, this is exact opposite of what judges appointed by liberals are supposed to do. They are supposed to assume that they, as judges, are to determine the responsibility of everybody to be blamed for whatever liberals want them blamed for. The state sued Chrysler, Ford, GM, and the U.S. subsidiaries of Honda, Nissan, and Toyota. Michigan's attorney general also filed court papers backing the automakers, making many of the same arguments that the judge ultimately adopted. Michigan said its economy would be severely crippled if automakers were forced to pay damages to California for contributing to global warming. Michigan said such policy decisions should be left for federal lawmakers. Well, that's not much better, but at least it's a delay. Let's see. We have time for another call. We'll go to College Station, Texas. This is Patrick. Welcome, sir. Great to have you with us.
Rush, second time caller dittos from the conservative stronghold that is Texas A&M.
I appreciate that.
All right. This is, healthcare is, government healthcare is socialist on two different levels. It's government subsidized, so it's socialist in that. But when you get the government to step in, right there, you make it more difficult for the private sector to compete. And as private sector employees emigrate, that's immigrate with an E over to the government side, that creates yet another government worker. And socialism dictates that there are agricultural armies, industrial armies, where they can send them out wherever they need. So government workers, once you get that many hands in the pot, you just can't remove the pot.
Well, exactly. Exactly. They all need to get raises. They all need to be paid. But I'm not sure I understood everything you said, but I don't think there's going to be a private health care industry once Mrs. Clinton's plan takes over.
Right. It's a war of attrition. They can't kill the private sector, so they take its workers one by one as they are forced to get out of business.
They can kill it overnight. They can kill the healthcare private sector industry overnight.
I'm talking about the entire private sector.
Oh, the entire private sector.
Right. You raise the bar for small business. No, small businesses no longer compete and grow, so the existing businesses become large monopolies. And once they're a monopoly, the government just says goodbye.
Right. So we're going to end up down the road. You remember the Soviets had this giant department store in Moscow called GUM, the GUM store, G-U-M. Well, it had nothing in it. It was a crapshoot to go in there and find anything. The same thing with their state-run bread and meat stores. There's nothing in them. There was nothing. You remember this? The GUM department store. So Walmart will be replaced by the Hillmart. You know, and then we'll have U.S. military surplus stores will be called Dick Durbin Marts. Yeah, this is scary stuff. Really. Yeah, Lou Rawls gets us back into programming content portion of the program. It's 800-282-2882. All right. Here's the latest attempt of the drive-bys to scare the hell out of everybody. Once we all started using cell phones, of course, we're all going to get brain tumors. And now that everyone, I mean everybody except, well, I don't know about you. You wear Crocs. You know what Crocs are, Mr. Snurdly? You have some Crocs, Brian? Do you know what they are, Don? You know what Crocs are? Do you have any? Kids have any? You know, I went over to Hawaii. I play golf. One of the eight guys had a pair of bright yellow Crocs. Now, I'd heard the name Crocs, but I'd never seen a pair of Crocs. As this guy gets on the airplane with these bright yellow-looking plastic, looked like you'd wear them out by the pool. They got holes in them and so forth. So what the hell is that? Oh, these are the most comfortable shoes you've ever worn. They're Crocs. Oh, I said, that's what a Croc is. And they're apparently amazingly popular. And so, because they're amazingly popular, they are deadly. Yeah, well, not deadly, but you're prone to injury. They are called shoe entrapments. Because people are losing their toes in elevators while wearing Crocs at rail stations and shopping malls around the world. Reports are popping up of people, particularly young children, getting their toes caught in escalators. One common theme to this seems to be the clunky, soft-soled clogs known by the name of the most popular brand, Crocs, C-R-O-C-S. One of the nation's largest subway systems, the Washington Metro, doesn't it figure that the largest subway system in the country would be in Washington, D.C.? So, it says one of the nation's largest. One of the nation's largest. Of course, how many cities have subway systems? You know, we have, you know, stupid light rail out there that nobody rides and so forth. So, anyway, it doesn't matter. The Washington Metro subway system has even posted ads warning riders about wearing Crocs on its moving stairways. The ads feature a photo of a crocodile, though they don't mention Crocs by name. 4-year-old Rory McDermott got a Croc-clad foot caught in an escalator last month at a mall in Northern Virginia. His mother managed to yank him free, but the nail on his big toe was almost completely ripped off, causing heavy bleeding. At first, well, that happened to me once when I dropped a golf club on my toe. Well, I didn't actually drop it. I was mad. But I didn't run off to the drive-by media saying golf clubs are causing toe damage on the golf course. So here we have another attempt to scare the hell out of everybody. Two other things about this article. They interview elevator experts. They do, folks. They interview elevator experts. Escalator experts. Now, I want to know, where do you go to get, how do you find an escalator expert? I'd love to talk to this guy. What did you want to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be an elevator, escalator expert, Mr. Limbaugh.
Well, you've done it. There's a quote from the story, "Face the direction the stairs are moving. Keep feet away from the sides and step over the teeth at the end." This is what the elevator expert told the drive-by media, the AP, how to avoid losing your toes in an escalator if you're wearing Crocs. Face the direction the stairs are moving. Keep feet away from the sides and step over the teeth at the end. You know, I don't know when I learned this, but I'll tell you, it was certainly before the news media did a newspaper story on it. I think I learned it, like, in kindergarten. Dick, Gardnerville, Nebraska, welcome, sir, to the EIB Network. Hello.
Oh, Rush, let me validate you in two specific areas. I was sent to the Royal Infirmary in Bristol back in the early 60s in honor and the first day I showed up at 7:15 in the morning expecting that the operative schedule would begin there, and the surgeons came in around 8:30 and 8:45. I said, what's going on? They said, well, you can't have your proper toilet and be in the theater before 9. Now, they went home at 4. At that time in the United States, the surgeons came in at 7:30. They operated through the schedule, and they did all the emergencies and went home when that was all done. Let me be clear. These were some of the most fabulous, you know, clinicians I'd ever met. If you were run over in front of the hospital, even if you came from Mongolia, it was free. It was well done. But the waiting list for hernias was 18 months. The waiting list for hip surgery was more than that, which leaves the elderly people either crippled or dead. Secondly, when I came back 20 years later, I had a radio tech, who had a pilonidal cyst recurrent, which is very painful. She was on Medicaid. Now, the treatment for that is excision. So I talked to the doctor who was going to, you know, pay for it or not.
Okay, I've got 20 seconds.
Okay. The long and short is, you are right. That is the diagnosis. We will not pay for it, and they did not. So, of course, I did it, the hospital did it, and the doctors of my particular age did these things frequently and makes the system look like it's working.
Right, but you do it out of the goodness of your heart and your Hippocratic oath. We got to run. I wish I had more time with this, but we got to take a break here. Be right back. I should have known it. Now I'm getting all these horror stories that people have had happen to them on elevators. Things I get into when I'm just trying to have fun. All right, that's it for today, folks, but I hope you have a great one. Hump Day is tomorrow, and we will be back eagerly and see you then.